What is up, degenerates? Welcome to week 7. Hard to believe that we're halfway through the season already, but we are. So into the second week of bye weeks coming up. Bi-pocalypse for a lot of people with the teams that are out. I'm your host tonight, the Dynasty Degenerate. This is Steve Sampson. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the rock star, Mr. Ben Steffen. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. It's been a pretty shitty week here in Canada, or in Ontario anyway. It's been rainy and cold and kind of garbage, so kind of like the Panthers season. It's been fucking awful. But I'm excited to be here tonight, so talk some football.
Sums it up. The Panthers season is Canadian weather in October.
Fucking shit.
That's awesome. So we are also joined this evening by a friend of the show and listener league participant, Mr. Levi Sturtevant, Deputy Mayor himself. Levi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You gave my last name a try this time.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting braver in my old age, you know?
You've got less to lose, right?
Right. I mean, let's face it. If I get it wrong, you're only going to put up with me for so long before I won't be here anymore. How's everything for you? How are you doing in your leagues?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm positive in a lot of the leagues I care about, other than the Listener League, of course, but everything else is pretty good.
Well, the Listener Leagues are very tough.
Yeah.
All 5 leagues, which I do want to get an episode out later this week about the 5 leagues. Competition is very tough this year. Mm-hmm. So it's, you got to be on top of your game. You got to be on top of waivers. And even then, if you didn't make the right picks in the draft and you haven't gotten a player here or there on waivers, you might already be out of it, but there'll be more to come on that. So, so week 7, a lot of us are able to analyze our teams right now. So I've got, not counting my rebuilds, I think I'm still in it in most of my leagues. I got a couple that I'm surprisingly 0-6 or 1-5 in, so I really have to look at those teams this week. I'm sure you guys are probably the same with the number of dynasties that we're in. But we'll get to some of that and some of the things that we do at this point in the season later on in the show. So let's start off with a few pieces of breaking news.
Breaking news.
So first in news last week was Cam Akers. Take time off for personal reasons, and it comes out that basically he wants a trade. And the Rams kind of want to give him one. So he's officially on the block. They're not ruling out him returning to the team. But, I mean, we've seen this situation so many times in the past that unless they throw a ton of money at him and assure him, like, a dominant workload, he's not going to play for the Rams again. So what do you guys think of Akers and potential landing spots for him? Where would you like to see him? Levi?
I'm not sure. I mean, in theory, he would go well on a team like maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Dolphins. I'm actually the Cardinals, but they're not going to trade him in division. But ultimately, I don't think he's shown very much after the Achilles injury. Like, the story for him coming back is awesome for him to get through that adversity. But I don't think that, for fantasy, I don't think he's ever going to be a major player at this point. I don't think that that's in the cards. So I wouldn't be looking to acquire him at all, I don't think.
That is a fair assessment. Ben?
Like, I don't know. What's he done to deserve a big contract on a team? Like, I don't know. He's had okay seasons, been hurt, come back, and now causing problems. Like, I don't know. It seems like if they're going to trade him, he's going to go for pretty cheap and likely get traded into a committee somewhere. I don't know. It just seems kind of like he's in a lose-lose situation now with whatever happened. It was pretty vague on that he was just taking time away, and then all of a sudden he's getting traded. I don't know. I don't see it being a thing that you can kind of target, like, for dynasty reasons. Like, redraft, you could probably drop him. He might be probably done on that team for the year unless there's a big injury and they have to bring him back. But I don't know, in dynasty you could probably try to trade low for him if you're rebuilding, but it's a huge risk because you don't even know where he's going to land or if he's going to have a job at all.
So he's a second round pick. He's in the third year of his rookie contract. He's got one more year. So wherever he goes, they're going to be looking at paying him next year. Oddly, what this brings to mind when I saw this, and it's more of a sleeper troll at first, but what does this mean for Marlon Mack? It's the exact same situation as Marlon Mack. So he comes back off an Achilles. He plays a little bit and gets moved. He's moved around, arguably a better talent than Cam Akers, in my opinion, but let's just call him equal. So even if Akers gets traded, yeah, I mean, he's not going to get paid. They're not going to pay him in LA. Their cap space is questionable because they spend money on good players. So he's in a rookie deal. They're going to have to send him somewhere that somebody potentially could pay him. But like you said, Levi, he's not going to get traded in division. So that rules out San Francisco, although he'd be a great fit because he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. He's not going to Arizona. That's in division. He's not going to Seattle. So you're looking at, you know, maybe he's a candidate to go to Denver because with losing Javonte Williams, they get Cam Akers on a cheap deal. They don't have to give up a ton.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad spot for him. I think if Akers is going to do anything, I think he really needs to be behind a good offensive line. Like, his thing was always burst and acceleration, and his vision isn't great. He needs an offensive line that can actually open up holes for him. So a place like Denver with a reasonable offensive line, I think, would be good.
Yep, and their offense is trash, so the expectations would be extremely low. Mm-hmm. no, I do agree with that. And getting in there with Melvin Gordon, I think would actually help him, being a young running back, having that veteran presence would maybe help him with his vision, improve his running. It's something that's overlooked a lot, but these young talents that come out, they push them right out there. There's not a veteran behind them or in front of them that they learn from because they just get rushed out onto the field so fast because their life expectancy as far as relevance in the NFL is not high. So,
well, additionally, teams get off of veterans because they make a hell of a lot more money than young players on cheap deals. So
that is also true.
That exacerbates the issue.
Yep. Kansas City, I think they're happy with what they have, but Denver maybe, I've been trying to think of a few different teams. I've heard a few, but everybody says teams that are in the division. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Trying to think of who else might be running back needy.
It's just teams. A tough thing to talk about, right? Trades happen so rarely in the NFL, and it's like this kind of came out of nowhere. There hasn't been a lot of time for speculation. It was Akers is away from the team. He's done with the team. And yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of other than that. So we have no idea like why this is happening, where they would be looking to trade him. Yeah, it's a weird situation.
The Raiders could be a good one.
The Raiders are potential.
Get
with Jacobs leaving Jacobs at the now. End of the year.
Yeah. And you get a guy behind him right now.
Yeah. The other one I heard too that was intriguing, but I don't see it happening. I'm surprised you didn't mention it, Ben, is trading him to Carolina to get McCaffrey.
Do they have a first round pick?
They don't need a first
round pick. Way down the road.
That's the problem.
But the thing is with the Rams is they find a way and they have other talent that the Panthers could use for a rebuilding team that they could probably send for Christian McCaffrey. But that's the kind of move that really fits what Sean McVay does. So that, as far-fetched as it might be because of what Carolina's asking for McCaffrey, I could see in some world that actually could happen.
Oh, yeah. For my CMC shares in leagues, that would be amazing.
My Chuba Hubbard chairs. That would be fantastic.
He's still going to be shit, so it won't matter.
Yeah, well, but at least he's going to be startable shit.
I don't know.
I know. That. It's questionable. But yeah, so I don't see a lot of places because there hasn't been huge injuries. So I would think Denver, Carolina. And that's kind of, I mean, Miami has plenty of running backs right now. I'd be surprised if they would trade for him. It would have to be a hell of a deal from Arizona.
Go to the Eagles.
now. Miles Sanders is there. Kenny Gainwell's there.
They run so often, though. Wouldn't be bad to
yeah,
have
but they,
to. They like have, their other guys is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, they feel good. Yeah.
Cheap.
Yep.
I mean, you got Sanders, Gainwell, Boston Scott. They just got Trey Sermon. I mean, they actually have a pretty decent array of running backs. And so I don't see that happen. I could see Vegas because Jacobs is leaving and the depth behind him isn't that great. But yeah, we'll see I would expect something to happen probably in the next week or two with him. I can't imagine that the Rams want him sitting and not getting something for him. And I can't imagine that he does either. So I would think that something happens over the next week or two. So we'll move on to the next piece of news. And Robbie Anderson was traded to the Cardinals almost immediately after Marquise Brown went down with that injury that he had. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a foot fracture that he's going to be out for 6 or more weeks. So we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to the injuries. But Robbie Anderson, Ben, you must be ecstatic to have him off your team.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone watched the game on Sunday. It wasn't worth writing home about, but he basically got kicked off the sideline after getting into it with, I believe, the receivers coach and him had a couple back and forth, and he got right in the guy's face, and Wilkes kicked him out of the game. Robbie was pretty good about it and did do an interview after the game, like a presser, and was pretty upfront about it, which was interesting, but you could tell it was over. And he hasn't been producing. No one's been producing other than McCaffrey on that team. So we didn't get much, but hopefully it works out for him in Arizona, because it wasn't working out in Carolina at all. He comes back. He comes in and he goes right across from D-Hop right away. So at least he's got someone taking the coverage off, and see if another Oklahoma quarterback can't get him the ball.
He's got a coach that wants to throw it downfield, so that might work out for him. I will not be starting him up anywhere. I'm going to try and dump him while people might be hyped on him. But
yeah, no, he's still not an ad for me or anything like that.
I doubt he plays this week because they're playing Thursday.
No, they've said he's going to play, but it's going to be minimal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if at all. I mean, unless they say, Robbie, go out there on the right side by the hash, and just run straight down to the end zone, and we'll throw the ball to you.
Pray for 2 for 85 and 2 touchdowns. That's what you want to pray for.
Yeah.
And then sell them.
Yep. Exactly.
Gabe Davis numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Gabe Davis looks good doing it because he catches the ball 3 yards from the line of scrimmage and runs 98 yards. He doesn't run 98 yards and actually, you know, have one bounce off a guy's helmet and catch it.
Yeah.
Not quite the same. So we'll get into the last little bit of news, and you guys know a little bit more about this than I do, because unfortunately I live in a bubble and completely missed this today. Travis Kelce restructures his contract, and there's rumors that it was done for them to make room to bring on a new wide receiver. Levi, I know you've seen the video. If you want to allude to more as to what that is?
Yeah, in the video, Travis and his brother Jason are talking about his contract restructuring, and Travis is being, you know, ribbed a little bit. Hey, is it for the guy everyone says it's for, Odell? And Travis responds, I can't confirm or deny. I love it if those rumors are true, but he essentially is telling us that he doesn't know. As good as the Chiefs look, I can't imagine that Odell would not want to go there, unless he can get a slightly better deal somewhere else. But that being said, he had an ACL injury. It was very late. We've seen how a late ACL or a later ACL has affected Godwin this year. So I don't know that this is going to bring up anything that's fantasy relevant for people. Like, Odell could help you in the playoffs potentially if they sign him to get some time under his legs before the playoffs. But I'm not sure this has much of a fantasy impact.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to see Odell on a football field before week 12 if he signed this week.
And even then, you probably can't start him right away, you know?
No, I wouldn't. He would definitely be a piece I'd be looking at for the playoffs. Ben, your thoughts on the Kelce restructure?
Well, I think it's going to open up for someone to come in. They did. He did basically say that they came to him. They needed to free up some money so they can make some moves. Or else they wouldn't have done it. I don't know if it'll be OBJ, but they might be going after somebody else. Because I've heard a few other wide receivers floated around, and that's probably the only position on their offense they need to really add to for a deep run. I'd love it to be Odell Beckham, and that way I could sell him in some leagues that I haven't been and recoup some stuff. But and then I have another league where I'd really like to have him for a playoff push. And him going to the Chiefs would be huge. Like, playing with Mahomes would be obviously the best quarterback he's ever played with, including Matt Stafford, like, hands down. So that would be really good. And then Kelsey's money just gets him paid now and spreads it out over time. Pretty common move amongst teams that like to push the cap.
Sir, I cannot believe that you discount him playing with Eli Manning just so callously. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He does commercials. I mean, come on. Baker best quarterback that he's ever played with. Yeah. So they freed up $3.5 million. They're just under $3.5 million with Kelsey restructuring. They definitely have a need at wide receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster has not worked out the way they planned. Mecole Hardman hasn't stepped up the way they planned. So they're very lacking in the wide receiver department. They have guys that are semi-serviceable, but they really need a better guy on the outside. So Odell would make sense if they can get him on the field sooner rather than later. But where the injury happened so late in the season and being a little bit older wide receiver, I would expect that it takes a little bit longer for him to come back from it. I mean, Godwin hurt his, 3 weeks before Odell? 4 weeks before Odell or something like that?
Something to that effect.
And realistically, he's finally been somewhat back to, you know, Godwin-ish the last 3 weeks. So he's getting better every week. You can tell he's getting more comfortable. But the first 3 weeks of the season, he probably shouldn't have been out there yet. So, we're week 7. I wouldn't expect him back. I wouldn't expect to see Odell on the field till week 12 if they did sign him. But hopefully there's other wide receivers out there on – other teams where they're kind of behind another guy that they really could be a one for a team with a guy like Mahomes throwing it to him. So
yeah, I've heard Chase Claypool name get floated out there. That would be a really good one. I'd like to see him get out of Pittsburgh. Would be wonderful. I like him a lot. Not so much his attitude and his dancing, but I like the way he plays and shit. Like, he looks good on the field.
So he would be my first thought,
too. He would look good there.
And the reason is because they like the speed.
Yeah, and he's a downfield threat. He's a big body for the end zone. Like,
yep.
He'd be and really good for them.
As much as I'm down on Claypool all the time, it would be a good fit for him, and it would probably raise my opinion of him a bit.
And so where would you have OBJ going if it wasn't the Chiefs? Where would you like to see him go?
Unemployment.
You don't like him?
He's dynamic when he's on the field, but he thinks more of himself and his skill set at this point in his career than what he actually is worth, in my opinion. So I don't know that there's a lot of teams that will pay him that are playoff or Super Bowl contenders. So you're not going to see him go to Buffalo.
Not without Tampa, an injury.
But I don't think so.
What about pairing him with Justin Jefferson and sending him to the Vikings?
No.
He's shown he could play the two role opposite Cup.
Why not? No, but the two role is already taken by Thielen. I mean,
he'd be a way better two. He was a better, if Woods didn't
get hurt. They love Thielen in Minnesota.
He still would have been a better two.
They love him in Minnesota. I mean, Las Vegas, if they can get on a roll, he would be great across from Adams. I mean, Renfro the way they should be. But I'd be shocked if McDaniels would actually spend money.
I don't think Vegas is a good place for OBJ to go either. Just the city's probably not a good idea.
No, I don't.
Stick him in Minnesota where you can't get in trouble.
Are you saying he may have issues behaving? Come on.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, Green Bay is a great spot for him. They're lacking a clear one. He could be that guy with Rodgers, or if Lazard is actually the one, which he's kind of is, but kind of isn't, you know, OBJ could be the two there. So that's another good fit. And Rodgers arguably could be the best quarterback he's ever played for too.
It also might be the end of Aaron Rodgers, the two of them together. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be a fit. There's a few places that he could go. So I would expect to see something happen with him over the next couple of weeks, because teams are going to want to get him in the building, see where he's at with his rehab, and start getting him into football shape. So,
yeah, should be coming.
I would expect to see news of him getting signed over, you know, at least by week 9. I think that would probably be the latest I would expect to see it, but it's always possible it gets pushed on, but I would expect to see something by then. I think that's all we have for news. There wasn't a whole lot of things breaking this week. Everybody was hoping that there'd be news of the Broncos firing Hackett, but hasn't happened yet, but let's keep our hopes up, guys. So we'll move on to the injury report for this week. It's not as bad as it has been in previous weeks, but a couple of big names on it. So
the injury report.
So as we mentioned before, Hollywood Brown out with a foot fracture, 6+ weeks. They put him right on IR, went right out and traded for Robbie Anderson. They do have D-Hop coming back this week. I would say your fantasy season is over for Hollywood Brown. Best case, he's back for the playoffs, but I really don't know that I would expect that or that I would want to start him, depending on how bad that foot fracture was. I haven't seen a whole lot of information on it after the fact. So usually the updates for stuff like this won't come until later in the week. So
there was a little bit of an update today. I believe it was today. Cliff Kingsbury said that it's 4 weeks minimum. So it could be a couple weeks less than what we were thinking initially, that Hollywood went out and got a second opinion, which is why this news broke.
Yeah. So what I saw on Sports Injury Central, which is Dr. Chow, was that it was a non-surgical fracture in his left foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's called an avulsion fracture, where a sprained ligament pulls off a piece of the bone, and minimum of 4 games, but then the last I had seen was 6. And he's also had a Lins frac injury in the same foot when he was coming out of college. So while they say it should not complicate it, I mean, the human body is kind of weird, so you never know. So something to monitor. If he's only out to 4 weeks, it doesn't kill you that much. They put him on IR. He's eligible to return after the 4 weeks. But the other reports that I saw that was 6+, I would probably be more into that, just given the fact that he's a speedster and, you know, he's going to be making heavy cuts on that foot. And I don't think he's going to be that comfortable. So I don't know that I want to be looking at starting him, which is unfortunate because he's been, in our listener leagues, he's a wide receiver 5.
Yeah, he's been top 5 this year so far.
So it's an unfortunate loss right now with all the bye weeks. But
don't I know it?
Hopefully, yeah. I just happen to be looking at your team. Hopefully he's back in the after the 4 weeks and you'll be able to play him into the playoffs. But
yeah, I'm fine holding him on the IR spot, just because it's like I'd rather hold a guy like him with his age than a guy like Odell. So,
well, most of your redrafts, you should have 1 or 2 IR spots.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy you can put in there with the 4 to 6 week time frame. But keep an eye on your leagues, because if people drop him, I would grab him and stash him, because there is the chance that you'll be able to use him in the playoffs if he has that, you know, narrower time frame for return. And somebody else's mistake could be what gets you into the championship or wins it for you. So keep an eye on that. The next one, Carson Wentz has a finger injury. He's going to be out for 1 month, about 4 weeks, I believe. I think they're saying 4 to 6. He's expected to have surgery on his right ring finger, which is his throwing hand. He did play through the game, but you could tell after he hit it, he definitely was feeling it, and he wasn't the same, even though it was still a fucking terrible game. They're bringing in Taylor Heinicke to start this week. Hopefully that lasts about two or three drives. And they bring in the rookie. What are you guys' thoughts on the Wentz injury and whether or not is Heinicke playable, or do you guys think we see Sam Howell? Ben?
If you got Superflex this week with a bye week, like, you could definitely get Heinicke in there. He'll probably score more than like a random wide receiver that you can throw in that spot. So you could probably put him in. I think it'll be more than a couple drives. Like, I'd love to see Howell. I was kind of hoping they might give him a shot, but the team's not winning.
Unfortunately, they're still in it.
Yeah, they're not winning shit. So I don't know why they're bothering with this pretend.
Because you know Ron Rivera, he tried every year with the Panthers too.
Yeah, I loved all the 8-8 seasons with Ron Rivera. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
Playing ourselves out of good picks, but yep, also not winning, not making anything. So I don't know. Get Howell in there, but it probably will be the third start. They'll probably give Heinicke a little bit of rope to hang himself, and he's okay. Like, he'll be fine for the fantasy assets. Like, he won't be worse than Wentz was for them. So you can still keep playing the guys that you were already playing. But yeah, I hope we get to see Howell. Like, I have some rebuild dynasty leagues where I'd like to get him in there and see what he's got.
So would you play Taylor Heinicke or P.J. Walker?
Taylor Heinicke. P.J. Walker completed one ball beyond the line of scrimmage last week out of 10. Nine out of 10 behind the line of scrimmage. And apparently the Panthers will only throw the ball down the field if it helps them win the game. And they're not sure if it will. So, fucking joke.
Well, that makes perfect sense. If you don't think
that was the quote today from Wilkes.
Yeah, I know.
It was wonderful.
We're only going to throw the ball down the field if we think it's going to help us win. Well, yeah. 31 out of 32 NFL teams have bought into that strategy. Even the Bears try to throw it downfield. Levi, your thoughts on the Wentz injury and Heinicke?
I think he might be all right for a week or two. There's the weapons in Washington are actually fairly good this year. So that's some reason for optimism with Heinicke, but I don't think that Washington is going to go anywhere with him. So
looking at last year with Heinicke, McLaurin had some pretty decent games. So I would expect or at least hope for a rebound from him.
Yeah, he hasn't been great.
Again. He's been pretty bad. So I think you can look, if it's Heinicke, you can look for him to have a couple of decent games here coming up. They're going against Green Bay this week, last year against Green Bay in week 7. Coincidence. He put up 25 points. He had 12 targets, 7 catches for 122 yards and a touchdown. That was with Heinicke. So maybe we're in for a repeat this year, but I do think he actually will probably see his better games of the season coming up over the next, well, at least the next 3 weeks. He's got Green Bay, Indianapolis, and Minnesota. So I would think that they might be able to win 2 out of the 3. But between him, between Dotson and the running backs, I think you're looking at better fantasy games right now with Heinicke or Howell.
Yeah,
which is my hope, too, that Howell gets out there, because he was my number one quarterback coming out of this draft. Even with Pickett going to the Steelers and potentially starting this year, I do think Howell's a better quarterback overall. So hopefully he gets out there. But I do think we can look for an uptick in the fantasy relevance of the Washington players. So we'll move on to James Conner, playing on Thursday night. He's got a rib injury. I'm starting to think that he's probably not going to. Levi, have you seen anything to the contrary?
No, all the info I've seen out of Arizona has been discussing Hollywood and then Robbie Anderson, obviously. So I haven't seen anything with regards to Connor, and the other guys didn't do very well in his absence last week, did they? I don't think I'd be playing any of the. Well, the value with Connor was when the offense was good and he was getting touchdowns, and the offense for Arizona is terrible so far. So I don't think any running back there has value until Connor comes back.
So Eno had 9.5 points, but he was 15 carries for 37 yards. He makes it up in the passing game, but I mean, he only had 3 targets. So
on a bye week, that might not be the worst option.
It's not a terrible option, but they played Seattle last week where he should have gone off.
They're playing a really bad New Orleans Saints team that's going to have the defense on the field a lot. It could get you some shorter fields, which could get you an Eno touchdown.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be looking at. I wouldn't mind playing. I'm a lot of, it's a tough week with guys out.
Yeah. Yeah, Connor hasn't practiced this week, so I don't expect him to play. And it's a Thursday night game. I definitely am. I would be real leery to fire up anybody in this game. Other than obviously you're probably going to have to fire up Kyler. I would probably throw D-Hop out there and hope that he comes back in football shape and they just pepper him with targets. I hate Thursday games. I wish they could do away with them. They just ruin your fantasy week.
I'd be fine with that.
I think a lot of people would this after this year's showing, because there hasn't been a good Thursday night game yet.
It's been terrible.
Why not do a Saturday? I don't understand it.
It's college football.
Yeah.
So
they're not going to compete with college football.
One game. Like,
yeah, they do. So they do Saturday games. I think they start in December.
Yeah.
Once college football's done. So they do like there's 2 or 3 weeks of Saturday games.
Yeah. But they, like an early Saturday game, like a 4.
You think there's a lot of money in the NFL? There's even more in college football. So they're not going to compete with that. It would be great for us, but they're not going to compete with that. And they're not going to do Friday night games because of high school football.
They also get great viewership on the one-off games on Thursday and Monday. They don't want to change that.
Well, the Mondays is fine. It's the Thursdays with the short week. Teams hate it, so they seem to fucking phone it in.
There's a very reasonable argument against it, but I don't think they want to change.
There's a lot of reasons.
They won't change it now with the big contract with Amazon, but yeah, like used to be, you could watch it. You know, you had it on NFL Network, and they've made it quote unquote easier now because it's on Amazon. But you still have to have a subscription to Paramount Plus. So even if you have Amazon Prime, you still have to buy another subscription to watch Thursday Night Football. So
really,
I only have Prime, and I have access to it.
I'll let you watch it.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, maybe it was it might have been the Sunday games that I had to buy it for, but that might be what it was.
Okay.
But I ended up watching it on my phone because I get it. It's free with Verizon if you get the unlimited from Verizon, so I can watch whatever my local games are. All right. So moving on, we'll go to Randall Cobb. He's got an ankle sprain. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. This hurts an already hurting Green Bay offense. I don't know if they'll be able to recover from this one. Unfortunately, who are they playing this week?
Washington.
I mean, Lazard's going to be fine. I think Watson's still hurt. He may play. Dobbs is looking good. Amari Rodgers should get some play time with Randall Cobb out. I wish they'd give more time to Aaron Jones
and Dylan.
I mean, Jones is getting like, I think he's averaging 60% of the snaps. And you would think that, you know, that would be being made up by Dylan, but it's not. I mean, there's a lot of time when they're both out there. So it just doesn't, I don't know what they're going to do with those guys, but most people probably aren't starting Cobb. You would be if it was this week because of the bye weeks, but 2 to 4 weeks. Hopefully somebody else steps up in that time frame. Any relevance to him for you guys?
So the name you haven't mentioned yet is Tonyan. This last week with Cobb going out, he had 12 targets and 10 catches for 90 yards. So if you're hurting a lot at tight end, that's not a bad option. I think that he'll continue to fill that role. He's also gotten a lot of play in like the 2-minute type drills. Like, Rogers trusts Tonyan. So I could see him going to him some more with Randall Cobb out.
Yep. And the matchup against Washington is a good one this week. He's a guy that may be on your waiver wire that you can pick up and stream at tight end. So I don't hate that at all. Ben, anything with Cobb or Green Bay?
No, not at all. That offense is driving me fucking nuts. I wish they would throw the ball more. I wish they would use their best players more. I wish Aaron Rodgers would throw the ball to his good rookie players. None of it seems to be working too well right now. And Randall Cobb, I don't think I own him anywhere or have any interest in owning him anywhere. So not super concerned about that one. It doesn't really boost anybody that wasn't already boosted, I guess.
All right, so move on to the Saints. Unfortunately, this most likely won't be out before they play. Although you never know. I might get ambitious and stay up late and edit it. So everybody on the Saints is hurt, everybody on the Saints is hurt. Kamara and Olave are not as hurt as everybody else. I do believe they've already said that Andy Dalton will be the starter. Olave, I believe, is playing. Kamara is playing. Michael Thomas is out. Winston will be on the sidelines, available if Dalton gets hurt. Still a mess at wide receiver. They have a decent amount of defensive players out. What the fuck, man? If you don't know, too, Andy Dalton plays like shit in primetime. So I definitely am not starting him even in Superflex this week.
No.
He's unstartable on a Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night game.
He has my favorite primetime game maybe ever when he was in Cincinnati against the Browns. And he had like 3 yards for almost the whole game.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, the whole game was shit to watch, both sides, but it was really...
Yeah, it was terrible.
I kept watching just to see where his stat line would end up. It was fantastic.
So you got to fire up Kamara. Yeah. You really, with this bye week, you really don't have anybody else. And you probably have to fire up Olave. But you're not going to feel good about it. And you're probably going to have to fire up Taysom Hill. So
I feel like with the way tight end is this year, you kind of have to do that every week. Like, I've seen
the way they're
using rest of season.
Absolutely. Sure.
Rest of season, Waller or Taysom Hill. Like, that's close. if you love getting 5 points, like 2 catches for 30 yards, start Darren Waller. If you want a chance at
39 points, or whatever it was,
start Taysom Hill. Like, he's all, both of them have the possibility to get you zero. But with all the weapons hurt, like, you kind of have to.
Yeah, that win your week potential is huge.
And as long as Jameis Winston's out, they're going to keep putting him in there in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. No, Taysom Hill, you definitely have. He's going to hit whatever his projection is for the week. He's going to hit it.
Yeah, like, I hated him being a thing when Drew Brees was on the team because they had a really good quarterback, like a Hall of Fame quarterback that they kept taking off the field. This is when Brees was healthy. They'd take him off the field completely to put this guy in for no reason and then have him throw it. I never understood that. Now it makes complete sense to put him in there because all the other options suck. So
yeah,
let him do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You can do much worse at streaming a tight end. You know what I mean? Like I said, he's projected for roughly 5 points tomorrow night. Sure. At least you got 5 points out of your tight end.
I bet he gets double digits.
Yeah, it's possible.
He's going to score.
Well, you would hope so, but yeah, it's a Thursday night game. So I count. I don't count out negative.
Score. He'll be the only one that's going to score.
He could go out and fumble 3 times at the goal line and end up with like negative 8 points. So
that's possible too.
I do not count out Thursday night games. At this point, they're not going to surprise me. So, but I think those 3 guys are guys you can fire up. Levi, anybody that we missed as far as relevant for the Saints?
I don't think so. There is a little bit of concern with Olave. The number one cornerback for the Cardinals has done an excellent job against number ones this year. Kupp actually had his lowest scoring game of the season, and DK did not score very well last last week. So a little bit of concern for Olave, but he's going to get so much volume with everybody else hurt. So I think you probably still need to play him.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, with the bye weeks, you probably don't have a choice in redraft anyways. Is that Byron Murphy?
Yeah, yeah. Murphy has been very good for them this year.
All right, so moving on. Kenny Pickett went out with the concussion last week. I do believe they've already said he is starting this week. I don't know if he's clear protocol, but like Tomlin, I do know it was either yesterday or today came out and said he's the starter. Obviously, that's as long as he clears, but they're fairly confident he will. I think that that is okay for this week. I didn't expect a whole lot last week out of that offense. This week, who are they playing?
I know it's another tough defense. There was some criticism of them bringing Pickett in to start against.
Oh, they're playing Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, so they play this. Pittsburgh plays against Miami this week, so is Xavier Howard. But I do believe you can fire up Najee this week, where last week I wanted nothing to do with pretty much any of the Steelers against Tampa Bay. I mean, Najee put up projected points at 12, but I didn't expect a big game. This week I think you can expect a much better game from him.
He needed a receiving touchdown to do it. And did they score another touchdown at all? Like, did he get the only one?
He got the only one.
Yeah. So, can't expect that every week.
Oh, no, I'm like, Claypool had a touchdown, too. My bad.
Oh, yeah. They used him a bunch.
Claypool had a great game against Tampa, which was, he's going to show up here and there. So, but, yeah, I think, and I believe Freiermuth should be back. Then that will help because that's another weapon that they have that takes coverage and helps everybody on the field. So, hopefully they get Pickett back. As much as I was a Trubisky guy early, I'm all set. Sorry, Mitch, but greener pastures. Maybe you could be an announcer. So I want my Deontay Johnson 13 targets, 15 targets, and I want him to be catchable. So we need to get Pickett back in there, get him more time, get him against a nice defense like Miami, who will pose some problems, but he should be able to beat them. At least fantasy wise, and put up some points for us. So, same game. Talk about Jalen Waddle. Suffered a shoulder injury last week. I believe that he is practicing.
Pretty sure he's playing.
And he should be playing.
I think he didn't practice today, but they are saying that he will play despite not practicing.
Yeah.
I think I saw the coach say that today.
He was limited today at practice.
Okay.
Didn't practice yesterday, limited today, but Mike McDaniel is optimistic that he will play week 7. So I think as long as he practices limited, and it's a night game, so I think as long as he practices limited the rest of the week, he's going to be fine. So you definitely want to fire up Waddle. He's been, and Tua should be back this week too, which is huge. So
yeah, Tua has almost hyper-targeted Waddle as well. Like he had the 19 targets in that one huge game. And in general, I think he's out-targeted Hill when Tua has been the quarterback.
Well, yeah, if you take the 19-target game out, it's been 5, 6, and 5. So, I mean, that game against Baltimore, he was wide open. So they just kept throwing to him because Baltimore was trying to take Hill out, which – okay.
Yeah, I think that both of those guys are going to play just to be a decoy for the other one, if nothing else, just because of how dangerous their speed is. So I don't think that they're gonna miss many games this year.
So the crazy thing with the Baltimore game too was Hill had 13 targets. He had 11 catches for 190 yards, where Waddle had 19 targets, 11 catches for 171. So I mean, they both had 40-point games with 2 touchdowns. I mean, Baltimore tried to – it's like the first half they took Hill out. Oh, this isn't working, so we're going to take Waddle out. In the second half, it didn't work. So
that's the advantage of having two of those guys.
Right, exactly. So I do know that so against the Buffalo, when Tua went out, Tyreek didn't get targeted as much, but Buffalo has much better secondary to take Tyreek Hill out of the game. But he's had with Tua innings at 12 targets, 13 targets, 4 targets, 14 targets. So he's the guy. He's going to get at least 10 targets. Waddle's going to be the second look, and he should get, I would think, 5 to 8 at least every week. He'll have the weeks where he has big targets. I think this week against Pittsburgh should be one of those weeks. I mean, they've got a good secondary, but they're not going to be able to stop both of them. So even Gesicki, they're using him a little bit more because they're trying to trade him. So I would expect him to get targets as well. So it should be a good week for Miami as far as your fantasy team. So that wraps up what we have for injuries. And I would like to talk about now, we're in week 7. You got guys you drafted. They're not performing, or they're not performing up to what you expected they would, or what you drafted them to be. So we're at a little bit of a cause for concern on some of these players.
Pick a side.
I'm going to ask you about the player, and you guys tell me, are you going to hold on to this guy, or are you going to drop him in your redraft leagues? So obviously in Dynasty, it's different. You're going to hold these guys anyways. But so Ben, Aaron Rodgers.
You got to hold him. Try to trade him if you can. You got to play if you have him, because you likely don't have another option. And just hope he finds that back-to-back MVP form again. I don't know. I have him some places, and I feel like I'm just stuck with him. But I roll him out there.
And right now,
a lot out you can do about it.
Right now, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback 20. So I don't think you're trading him because nobody's going to want him. I mean, Jared Goff's outperforming him.
Yeah, it depends how deep you are. Like, I don't know. I have a 10-team super flex league, so not super deep, but the rest of my roster is really good.
Well, super flex, you're going to hold him just because.
Yeah,
I'd like to quarterback 20 and super flex in a 10-team, that's your second starter. So
he's my first starter. My other starters are Tannehill and Zach Wilson are my 3 quarterbacks. I'd love to trade Aaron Rodgers with like Waddle and try to get like Lamar Jackson or something. But
yeah,
the team that I'm trading with needs to be shit at wide receiver. So
right.
I don't know. It's tough.
So, let me specify with the quarterbacks. One, we're talking one quarterback league, just like our listener league, one quarterback league. Aaron Rodgers, are you holding on to the quarterback 20, or are you going to drop him and try and grab one of the other guys?
I'm going to hold him and play him. Expect that it bounces up.
Levi?
If you've got good options in terms of streamers, I'd drop him. He's hurt. The weapons are not there. Like, it's fine to drop him.
I'm 100% dropping him. Daniel Jones is outperforming Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, them rushing yards.
That's gross. But Daniel Jones has been able to be started, you know, for a couple of weeks. Yeah, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but neither is Aaron Rodgers. So it's definitely not where you drafted him to be with the expectations for this year.
I could see him turning it on to end the year, but I'd rather stream for now.
Yeah, I would too. I could see him turning it on too, but he's got to find a wide receiver that he likes, or he's got to find Tanyan that he likes. Mm-hmm. Or he's got to get the running back to, you know, and it's the whole offense is out of sync.
Yep.
And it's because Aaron Rodgers is out of sync. So till he figures it out, I really don't think you can start him. But I would, if I have him, I'm looking at my waiver wire and I'm seeing who else is there. And I'm going to try and grab somebody, especially with the bye weeks, keep an eye on people dropping their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
To pick somebody else up because they don't want to hold a dead spot. But, I doubt this week you're going to see somebody drop Hurts or Allen, but maybe Stafford, although he hasn't been that much better.
So if you're planning on dropping him, those are the guys you go trade Aaron Rodgers to. And then you pick
up somebody. you can try, you know, if they're...
I mean, it's better than picking up nothing.
It is. No,
or getting nothing.
You know, if you've got a guy who's got Josh Allen out or Jalen Hurts out, try and trade him Rodgers. If you've got another quarterback, and get a piece that you need, but
even an upside piece, like if it's better than letting him go for just to get another quarterback. Like, that name you kind of have to capitalize on.
Yeah. So next name, Levi, Tom Brady.
Brady is one that I would hold because he does have the weapons. If you need to pick up another QB to kind of cover it, and your roster can sustain that through the bye weeks, that's something I would do.
Ben?
Same thing, yeah. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He'll figure it out. They've had some injuries. They've had some rough luck along the way. He's had some personal issues. I think that's definitely showing. But that team's got a good O-line, a good defense, really good weapons. Like, it's coming. They'll be fine.
So he's got Carolina, Baltimore, the Rams, and Seattle. He's a guy I'm definitely trying to trade. You can't outright drop him, but at this point, I don't want Tom Brady on my team. He's got a decent matchup in the playoffs, but at this point, unless you're 6-0 or 5-1, you need wins to solidify a spot in the playoffs. So I'm going to be looking to move Brady somehow, get him off my team, and get better weapons in other places and try and get a quarterback that's somewhat comparable. I mean, Goff's ahead of him, Cousins ahead of him, Geno Smith's ahead of him. Brady will figure it out, I think. Godwin's getting better every week. He's got the weapons, but I need to manufacture wins now with bye weeks, so I'm going to try and get rid of him. I'm not going to drop him, but I'm going to try and get rid of him. So move on to Matt Stafford. Ben?
You can probably drop Matt Stafford. The Rams have looked awful every week. Going into last week, they'd scored less points than the Panthers, which is embarrassing. His elbow doesn't look right.
I think they had scored less than the Bears, too.
Yeah, not good. They're not scoring. Cooper Kupp's the only guy that he throws the ball to at any rate, and they're not scoring a lot of touchdowns. Kupp's numbers are all coming off volume. Ridiculous amount of receptions for a ridiculous amount of yards, but they're still not scoring. And yards for a quarterback don't do shit for you. You need that guy to get 2+ touchdowns every game, plus the yards. And it's not coming, and I don't think it's going to. You can cut Matt Stafford.
So if I told you Stafford had 41 attempts, 36 attempts, 48 attempts, 42 attempts, 33 attempts, and 25 attempts, how many 300-yard games do you think you would have?
Two or three.
A few.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's not working. Against Dallas.
And he only put up 10 points, fantasy-wise. So it's not working. And I had alluded to the elbow being something in week one at that showing against Buffalo. And people said, no, his elbow's fine. His elbow's fine. It's not. It hasn't been. And it's not going to be the entire season. So
for reference, in a redraft league, I sold Russell Wilson for Matt Stafford straight up because I didn't believe the offer came through. And after the bye week now, I am going to be dropping Matthew Stafford and just starting Jared Goff every week. It sounds gross, but that's
it's absurd
what I'm doing.
But yeah, I mean,
I would have been dropping Russ too because I had Goff sitting there on the bench. But yeah, no.
But here's the thing: Goff coming out of the bye this week has Dallas this week, which is a tough matchup with their secondary. But then he's got Miami, Green Bay, Chicago, the Giants, and then he gets Buffalo in week 12. Jacksonville week 13. But his playoffs are Minnesota, the Jets, and the Panthers. The Jets, the Panthers, and Chicago. 15, 16, 17.
Yeah.
So I much would rather have Goff playing the way he's been playing. You know, you get a 15-point week and then a 30-point week. So he had a 5-point week against New England. So against Dallas, should be a 30-point week. But
Dallas is a good defense, you know. I don't know about that.
So does New England. So the bye week was probably what would have been his 38-point week, so this will probably be a short one. But I do think after Dallas, he has a very soft set of games right through till the championship. So Goff's a guy I want to own. Even if I have a better quarterback, I want to have him because I don't want my opponent to. So if he's out there because he was dropped, you want to take a look. I mean, most likely he's already been picked up on waivers this week, but if he's out there, grab him. And if even if you're not going to start him, hold him, because your opponent in a week or so is going to want to grab that guy. But yes, yep. Stafford for me is a drop. Levi?
Same. That O-line has been terrible. They're only giving him enough time to throw in Kupp's general direction and nothing else.
Yep. The next one we have is Travis Etienne. Levi?
You got to hold him. He's continued to see increased snaps. He's breaking off some long plays. He just hasn't quite scored as much as he maybe should have at this point. He might be a sneaky trade target, in fact.
Ben?
Trade him. Yeah, if you can capitalize on the name in a good game, trade him. The Jags have fallen down to earth since the beginning of the season. Even James Robinson doesn't look great. But yeah, you can definitely hopefully capitalize on the name, and I would definitely try to move him for somebody that's maybe underperforming, or package him with a wide receiver and maybe try to upgrade at wide receiver, something like that.
No, I 100% agree. And just for point of reference, everybody I talked to about ETN says, oh, he's got no uptick in snaps. He's not. So 51% week one, 37%, 43%, 51, 53, 46. It is a dead split between him and James Robinson. I mean, they're a 50-50, as close as it can be. One of them gets a few more percentage. And then you have Jermichael Hasty in there taking a few snaps. But I am 100% trade on ETN. Try and sell the name. Get somebody else. They've got a tough schedule coming up as far as run defenses. And I want to take advantage of my opponent right now. I want to trade this guy while I can get something for him off the name. And just try and get a startable running back going through the next few weeks, because I don't expect anything more than 10 or 11 points. And I think I can do better with somebody that has that name and people are still high on. I definitely think you can trade him. Next one's AJ Dillon. For me, it's kind of the same thing. Another guy you drafted high. His snap shares is still roughly 50%. Same as Aaron Jones. So I'm looking to trade him on name value alone, because he hasn't really done anything to warrant somebody paying up for him. But I want to move Dillon. I want to get somebody else. Even if it's a side move for me, I don't care. I just want him off my team. Levi?
Yeah, you can't drop him because of the volume he represents, especially should Aaron Jones go down. But he's a guy I'd like to get off my teams if possible. The perfect type of guy to package trade with a wide receiver to somebody who's been hit by injuries and has a quality piece that they need to tear down with.
Yep.
Oh, just go sell him to the Aaron Jones owner as insurance and take whatever you can get back and move on.
Yeah. If I'm an Aaron Jones owner, I don't want AJ Dillon.
Cause depends how deep your rosters are, kind of thing. If you got like 5+ bench spots, probably not a bad idea. And you can afford the bye weeks. Like if you had Swift or something like that, and you're through one bye week, I don't mind that move.
I don't know. If I'm an Aaron Jones owner, I'm disappointed on the season anyway, and I wouldn't want more Packers on my team.
Yeah, I'm gonna be. If I'm the Jones owner, I don't want Dillon. I'm gonna be looking to acquire somebody that's going to be able to put up points and isn't going to share a bye week. Cause with a short bench like that, you know, trying to find a running back that produces, that's going to be available week 14 is going to be tough. We'll go on to DeAndre Swift, which to me would be a prime candidate for a trade because he's been hurt and the fickle redraft community is kind of down on him. For me, he's a guy I'm going out to actually acquire right now because of the injuries. Ben?
So this one's going to kind of pair Swift with our next guy, Jonathan Taylor. I actually just made a trade. I traded away Swift with Darren Waller because I have Travis Kelce, and I got Jonathan Taylor. So the guy really needed a tight end, and he really needed a running back. with Taylor being in and out, but the whole trade was injury, a lot of injury involved when that trade was made. But yeah, Swift, it really depends on what your situation is looking like. I'd probably be buying DeAndre Swift in most situations, but that's a league that I had Christian McCaffrey, so I could afford to lose Swift with Dameon Pierce also on my bench. So, like, I don't know. It made sense to upgrade him to potentially upgrade him, I guess, to
in Taylor. In that case, to upgrade to Taylor and pair him with McCaffrey and still have Pierce as a flex guy.
Yeah, it made sense in that move. But a lot of people don't have that kind of luck. But, yeah.
And chances are Swift, if you have Swift, you're losing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, from my experience looking at lineups right now, Swift is on losing lineups because you drafted him.
And he's been out.
He's not been available, and you weren't able to get a guy to make that bridge. So you're needing to shake up your team. Levi?
So in addition to the other things you guys said with regards to reasons to trade for him, he's passed his bye week. Now, he might miss time for injury, but having an additional week of play, essentially, if you trade a player who hasn't had their bye for Swift, is a big deal. So I would trade for him.
Yep, that's a point that I'll bring up in the last segment that we have.
I would actually love to trade for Jonathan Taylor for DeAndre Swift plus a wide receiver in the Listener League, because losing Hollywood, my wide receivers suck.
Oh, well, maybe we can talk. Have you? We'll talk about a guy later on that I have up for trade.
Okay.
Would you like to switch leagues?
that right now, Ben, there's a lot of people in the Listener Leagues that would love to switch leagues.
Oh, mine's tough, man. It's tough.
All right, so Jonathan Taylor. He's been hurt. Mm-hmm. You can't get around that. Number one overall pick, pretty much across the board. A few leagues I saw where McCaffrey was, but realistically, Jonathan Taylor was the number one overall pick this year. He's been hurt. You're definitely not getting the production you were expecting out of him. Obviously, you're not going to drop him. He's had one game, which was week one against Houston, where he put up, 31 carries, 161 yards, and a touchdown. The next closest game was week three against Kansas City, where he had 71 yards. He hasn't been in the end zone. Gets hurt week four. Now we're coming into week seven with Tennessee. He's still nursing the ankle injury. There's no guarantee he plays this week. Like I said, you can't drop him. If you own Jonathan Taylor, what are you doing with him right now? Levi?
I'm holding, or I'm looking to tear down for another asset if my team is hurt and needs more pieces.
If you're 3-3 or 2-4, what are you doing with Jonathan Taylor?
Well, I am 3-3 in the Listener League. And my situation there is that Hollywood was essentially my only good wide receiver, and I lost him. So I would really be looking to trade him in that particular case. If my team is a bit stronger and, has just been having some unlucky breaks in terms of matchups and whatnot, I would be holding, because he does have that potential. Like, we just saw Deion Jackson put up 28 points. If Jonathan Taylor is in there, I think you're seeing a similar type of explosion. And a lot of that comes down to Matt Ryan is dumping the ball off to the running back. So, I think he will be really good going forward. You might have to wait another week for that to happen. But if you can hold on to him, then I think he's still going to be excellent for your team going forward.
Yeah. So for the record, Deion Jackson was a guy I was super high on last weekend. And I think it was.
I know. I saw you pick him up in multiple places, and
I picked him up everywhere I could. We were talking in the EDL league, and I said he was poised to have a huge game because Jacksonville's front line was great against the pass, but horrid against the rush. And I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not, Ben. I think we did a little bit, but we didn't go into too much on it. But yeah, he had a killer week until he had the concussion. I mean, honestly, I think he would have put up 35, maybe 40 points if he didn't get the concussion.
Yeah.
Because he could have run through that line with a beach ball. So, Ben, your thoughts on Taylor? Are you trying to trade him if you're going to try to manufacture wins if you're 2-4, 3-3?
So, if you're in the mix still at that 2-4, 3-3 spot, like, you're still in a playoff push at that point, like, you're right there. You can't get rid of him. You got to keep him. He represents way too much upside league winning ability. He was really slow to start last year as well. I believe it wasn't until like week six that he started to really come on and take over. We could be seeing that just with a little bit of a delay from the injury. Where I would look to move him for as many parts as you can get is if you're a 1-5 and or an 0-6 team who got crushed with his injury, his shitty performances, and the rest of your team just not helping you out because you picked 101. I try to move him in that case and try to get like whatever you can. If you can get like a Pierce and a part, or you can get like a who else would be a good move? Like if you could you get Josh Jacobs and then a wide receiver to go with it, like a Waddle or something like that. That would be a move you could make.
I would say Pierce, Jacobs, Sanders.
Yeah, those kind of guys, and get a wide receiver to help you out. Because obviously, yeah, if you're 0-6, you need more than just one player. I'd try to make that move, but in most scenarios where you're kind of the middle of the pack, you got to hold on to him. And if you're at the top, you definitely got to hold on to him.
Yeah, no. If you have a winning record, if you're 4-2 or higher, you're not trading him. You're just going to hold him, mm-hmm, and you can survive another week or two. If you're 0-6, you absolutely have to win this week or you're out.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're not coming back from an 0-7 to make the playoffs with 14 weeks, unless you have just a really, really tight league where everybody's competitive, but you still would have to win out at that point. So it would be extremely tough to get through there. So if I don't have two wins, I'm trading Jonathan Taylor. Unless I'm in a keeper league where I might want to keep him for next year. But, you know, that different circumstances with that. So move on to wide receivers. Keenan Allen, complete and utter disappointment with the a hamstring injury. I would absolutely fucking love to be able to drop Keenan Allen, but you can't. So are you just riding the bus here with Keenan Allen, or are you going to try and trade him? Ben, what are you doing with Keenan Allen right now?
You're selling him to a 5-1 or a 6-0 or a 4-2 team for whatever you can get, a lesser wide receiver, and try to make it like a lesser wide receiver on paper and make it look like that person's getting a big boost for their playoff run or something. But you need somebody now. So like I'd go get, who's a good option that I like? Like if you can go get Chris Olave for...
That's exactly who I was about to say.
Go nuts. Like that would be awesome. And I think you're gonna like that over the course of the year, and it's gonna help you now versus waiting for Keenan Allen to come back.
Yep. No, I would agree. You want to target somebody that's in the wide receiver three range. I would personally.
Yeah.
Wide receiver three range that has the upside for being a wide receiver two, or even having a wide receiver 1 week here and there. You know, I would even say go after McLaurin, go after Deontay Johnson, go after Romeo Doubs, go after Judy. You know, guys that are kind of down in the middle of the pack, but can actually put some points up because God knows when the fuck he's going to be back.
Yeah, exactly.
So even if I'm a contender, I may be looking. Like if I'm 4-2, I might be looking to get rid of him to somebody who's a believer. I'm definitely not trading him to somebody that's 5-1 or 6-0, but I might look to somebody that's 3-3 and say, oh, hey, here, you can get Keenan Allen. You know, all you got to do is win another game or two, and you're right in this. And this guy's going to help you in the playoffs. But, you know, take one of their pieces, and while they're not going to make the playoffs, you just dump the fucking anchor.
That's right.
Levi, anything different?
No, you absolutely can't drop him. I don't hate holding him. Like, I understand that the injuries have been terrible, but I think that offense was really missing him. He's the only guy who really gets separation and is kind of a safety blanket for Herbert other than Eckler. So I'd be looking to grab him if I can, and if my team is in a position to do so.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Williams has stepped up. Josh Palmer's been decent. you know, he's been a decent option in Keenan Allen's absence, but they do miss him. It's evident. So he is an integral part of that offense. I don't know what they're going to do with him in a year or two when he leaves, but they have time to figure that out. So we'll move on to Deontay Johnson. Levi, what are you doing with Johnson?
I think you got to hold him. Actually, I think you could use him to pair with another player to go get an upgrade if you needed to. But I do think that there's at least some chance that the Steelers, being the Steelers, figure this out, that Pickett gets better, and that a rising tide lifts all ships, as it were. Mm-hmm. And that means Deontay, that means Najee, everybody. So I think I'd be holding or trading for him potentially.
My thing with Deontay, I was high on him in the offseason. He's still getting the targets. 12 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets, 13. Last week was a little bit down, but that was Tampa Bay. It was expected. Against the Jets, when Mitch Trubisky was fucking abysmal, he got 4 targets. But that game was what that game was. But he's still getting the targets. So I do agree with you. They're going to figure it out. He's still going to get the targets. He's still the first look on the team. Claypool's going to have a week here or there. Pickens is going to have a week here or there. But Johnson's still going to get 10 targets. And I think as Pickett gets better, there's going to be more receptions with those targets. So I think he's a guy that, like I own him in the Listen League. I own him in a lot of places because I was so high on him. He's a guy right now that I would like to hold. But I would be fine with also packaging him with somebody to upgrade at either wide receiver or at running back. So that's kind of where I'm at this week with my teams, is I'm looking at guys that I can do that with. So he's one of those guys. Ben?
If I don't have him, I'm going and trying to buy him for cheap. And then if I have him, I'm holding on to him. I like the volume that he generally gets, way too much to let him go. And he's healthy and playing. So, definitely hold on to him. Not going to hurt you. And if you're a low team and you want to sell, he'd be a guy I'd probably go and sell. I'd sell Keenan Allen for Deontay Johnson all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're onto something with being able to buy him low for anybody but me, because a lot of people are going to be down on him because they're going to look, he's not that good. Hit a 5-point game. And the Steelers' offense sucks. Sure. 100%. I completely agree with you. Sell them to me. I'll give you a bag of magic beans and some Lay's potato chips. I'll sell you Russell Gage. He's on a great offense, and he's going to get looks, So I do agree. Jerry Jeudy is the next one. Offense is terrible. Russell Wilson's terrible. Hackett's terrible. Judy's still a good talent, but let's face it, unless that offense figures something out, he's an anchor on your roster, and you're going to continue to start him. He's getting 6 targets a game on average, and he's roughly 50 yards a game. So if he doesn't get in the end zone, you're not even getting 10 points. Ben, what are you doing with Jerry Jeudy?
I'm holding on to him. I'll still start him. The number one wide receiver on teams is hard to find and replace in a lot of spots.
I think he'll establish he's not the number one.
I think he is, and I think he'll be okay.
Russ hyper target, like, to his detriment, looks towards Sutton, unfortunately.
Yeah, yes. Like Judy's Sutton, wide Sutton's open. A one. Like he's wide open, and they're gonna find him eventually. I don't know.
But the thing is, like, Sutton's the type of player that Russell looks to first. He's that bigger guy. He's the Metcalf. So he's going to look to Sutton first. Then he's going to look to Jeudy, which was more of, his Tyler Lockett. And that's just a progression that Russ is going to go through. He's going to look at Sutton, then he's going to look at Jeudy, and then he's going to look at Handler. But,
so if you can Judy's still getting your targets, right? If you can insulate the rest of your team with consistency and higher floors, and then get your Lockett big boom weeks from your wide receiver too, that's not bad. I'd be okay with that.
Okay. Levi?
I'm kind of the opposite. I think he's the type of like landmine player you can throw out on the waivers and have someone start against you and he'll continue to do nothing. So I would be out on Jeudy personally. I'm also just out on Russ and the Broncos in general. So
are you out on Jeudy to the point where you would drop him in redraft, or are you out on him that you wouldn't start him and you would absolutely be 100% looking to trade him?
I would be looking to trade him. I don't think I would drop him just because it's hard to drop wide receivers that of his potential, but he hasn't lived up to that potential in any way so far. So
right. Yeah, he's right now he's a wide receiver 36, 35 in standard, 40 in PPR. So you're not going to find a replacement on the waivers. So you really can't drop him, but I'm 100% not starting him, and I'm looking to trade him to a Denver fan that believes that they can turn it around.
Luke, where you at?
He already owns him. He already owns him. And believe me, there's nobody more devastated by having him than Luke.
Yeah, man, poor guy.
I'm so happy that I was a Sutton guy going into the season, because I was starting to have my doubts, like, maybe guys are on to something with Jeudy. I'm going to stick with Sutton, and I'm very happy I stuck with Sutton so far. Next guy is Brandon Cooks. Houston's offense hasn't been that great. It was kind of expected that they wouldn't be very good, or at least would be somewhat mediocre. The surprise for me is Cooks, but it's mostly because they're not getting in the end zone at all. He's had 2 weeks over 10 targets, seven targets, six targets, and then they just went into the bye. He had a good game against Indy. He had a good game against the Chargers, both secondaries that have been not very good, but were expected to be. Denver, who has a good defense. Chicago, who's got a good defense. Jacksonville's got an okay defense against the pass. So he's coming into Vegas, Tennessee. Should be decent weeks. And then he's got Philly, which will be a tough week. But then he's got the Giants, Washington, Miami, Cleveland, and then a pretty decent playoff schedule. For me, Cooks is a guy I think I'm going to try and buy low and just have as a bench depth. Levi?
I actually think that in some cases we might be seeing Nico Collins supplant him as the number one there. The last two games before the bye, Collins was 79 and 81% snap share. He had 5 and 6 targets, which is comparable to Cooks, but he had 82 and 65 yards and was scoring better. I don't think you can drop Cooks. It's very possible that it was just a slow stretch and he turns it on, after the bye here, but, I'm not super optimistic on him.
Okay. I mean, the Collins information, you definitely cannot discount, because his targets, his play time has gone up, the targets have gone up, and the yardage has gone up. Depth of target has gone up too, so that's also huge. Ben?
Brandon Cooks, I'm going to keep rolling out there. Mills has been kind of underperforming this year, and I think that's going to go up. I do like the emergence of Nico Collins as having a second option to take some of that pressure off of Brandon Cooks, but I do think I think he'll be fine, and I think he bounces back, and you like him for the second half.
Are you looking to acquire him or just hold him?
Just hold. I don't know if I'd go out and buy. Just the name's kind of expensive, even though he has been kind of meh, but that's been his career. He still always gets 1,000 yards. He still always gets his points. They're just not always super overwhelming all the time. So kind of hard to buy when he's just doing what he's always done and you know what's going to come. That's, yeah. But I definitely would hold. I don't think I'd sell. You're not dropping him.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of always gets 1,000 yards, let's talk about DJ Moore.
Do we have to?
We do. Guy drafted extremely high.
Yeah,
big expectations from people. And he has not delivered. Going up against Tampa this week. Then he's got Atlanta, Cincinnati, Baltimore. And then he gets Denver before the bye. and his playoffs are Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Tampa in the championship. So I am somebody who was really high on DJ Moore going into the season, probably second to you as far as how high I was on him. I don't know that there's many people more disappointed in him than me, because I still have him and I'm still attempting to start him at times. This week I kind of have to with bye weeks. I don't feel like he's a guy you can sell. And I don't feel like a guy you can comfortably go out and trade. So I think you're stuck with DJ Moore. Ben?
You're stuck with him. You can drop him if you're not me and you don't have Panther fandom in your blood. You can drop him. I don't know if it's going to get any better. It's not getting any better with PJ Walker. That's it for damn sure. I don't know if Baker coming back helps at all. I don't know if Sam Darnold coming back helps at all. The O-line is vastly improved from when Sam was here last year, and he does have McCaffrey back. And they were 3-0 with McCaffrey and Darnold, but not against great teams.
Well, he was also hyper-targeting more to start the year last year. So maybe we see
DJ's
more of that.
Still getting a lot of targets. I think he had 11 targets last week.
Seven. But he's getting a minimum of six targets.
But they're just not good ones. So maybe Darnold's better at that. I don't know.
Well, they haven't
Don't
had,
count
like,
on it. Put it that way. Don't count on it.
The offense changed. So
to nothing. They don't do anything anymore. Nothing. They give the ball to McCaffrey up the middle. They run him left around Icky every once in a while. They dump it off to him, and they don't throw anybody else.
They have a new coach that has PJ Walker. They don't have Baker yet. So I'm hoping that with Baker, or if Darnold comes back and they have a quarterback that's capable somewhat, I use the term loosely, that they can actually do more. So I'm hopeful that with the new offense, that when one of those two quarterbacks is back, that they're able to do more. And they have some softer defenses coming up. So hopefully that can turn around a bit. I don't expect Hall of Fame numbers from anybody on that team other than McCaffrey this year. But I do think they move away from the just hand off to McCaffrey, dump off to McCaffrey, find McCaffrey somewhere, because if you don't, you're going to get fucking piled into the turf. You know what I mean? But
the problem is, I don't think they care to not get piled into the turf. I don't know. Like, they're tanking hard. Like, it looks like 2010 all over again when they were trying to get Cam Newton. It's not good.
And that's possible. You know, it's very possible. Levi?
I mean, I don't think you can actually drop him just because of the very outside chance that he does get traded to a better situation. But it's similar to Judy. He's not a guy I want to be putting in my lineup right now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you may have to, depending on where you're at with bye weeks this week.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to feel good about it.
He's got some potential. Like, if you need to flex him on the hopes of a long touchdown, that's reasonable. But my hopes are not high.
No, mine aren't either. But I do know I have to start him, like, three leagues. Sucks. All right, so last guy we'll talk about, and this is with the return of Brian Robinson, is Antonio Gibson. I don't know how I feel about Gibson right now. Brian Robinson had a pretty good return game. We know the coach doesn't like him. Then the coach comes out and says, oh, we got to get Gibson more involved. You think? So I don't know what they're going to do with him. Levi, what are your thoughts on Gibson?
You probably can't drop him right now because of bye weeks, but I think if you need to drop him to pick somebody else up, I think that's okay. Like, the real upside situation here is they start using him as the pass catching running back instead of McKissick. I think he's still exceptionally athletic, has a ton of burst potential. So if you get him in space, throwing him some screens and whatnot, I think that would be very good for him. But they have McKissick for a reason. They brought him back. So I don't know why they would put Gibson into that role. So as a whole, I think you can drop him if you need to.
Ben?
Yeah, I agree. If you have running backs that you can start on a weekly basis, you could probably drop him and go pick up something that you might need otherwise.
If you have Hurts or Allen on bye, would you drop him to pick up a QB for the week? Like,
I did.
Is he that type of
Yeah, I did. I had Josh Allen on bye in a league, and I needed to add. Who did I add? I think I added Heinicke, to be honest, just to get through the bye week, and I just got rid of the running back because it's just 1 week, and I don't have to worry about it after that, and then I can go pick something else up that's usable. But it's a super flex league. I needed a quarterback. Had to do it.
Yeah. So Gibson started the season with 64% snap share. He's gone down every week. And Robinson just came back last week, so Gibson was at 26%. But he's gone down every single week since week one.
Mm-hmm.
He has been getting 3 to 4 targets a game, even last week. Robinson had 0, so they're not using him in the passing game yet. But McKissick is the passing down guy. I would agree that you can probably drop Gibson, but I would probably, if I didn't need the roster spot, I would hold on to him until I did. Because there's always a chance that Robinson re-injures. There's a chance McKissick gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he's a running back, actually, so you know he should be rostered in general. But if you need to drop him.
If you need the spot because of bye weeks for a quarterback or an important position, you know, you need to stream your tight end for the week. Sure. 100%. Absolutely. You can drop him. Hope that everybody looks at that as fuck that guy. I don't want him and just moves on. So that'll wrap up that, the cause for concern. And we will jump into this real quick. It's basically just some fantasy 101.
The fantasy commandments.
So we're into week 7. You're starting to evaluate your teams. It's almost, you know, what are you going to do? You're 3-3, you're 2-4, you're 1-5. God forbid you're 0-6. What am I doing with my team? How do you approach the next several weeks with the bye weeks now? Are you looking forward 2 or 3 weeks to see, you know, what your opponent has for players on bye, for defenses, kickers? You know, are you going to try and grab a guy? You know, your opponent's not going to have a quarterback in 2 weeks. Are you going to try and grab the best one that's going to be available that week now? Same thing with a defense or a kicker. How do you guys typically approach this time in the season where you're trying to manufacture wins by doing whatever you can to create the loss for your opponent? Ben?
So I don't think we need to help people that are 5-1 or 6-0 a whole lot with this information. They probably have a pretty good team. They have a good idea what they're doing, other than maybe, say, consolidate some pieces to try to get those home run pieces. That's what I would say for the top teams to do. If you're a lower team, you need to sell a stud to spread some shit out. I would definitely go for that that tactic. Try to take advantage of bye weeks and buy players that are done their bye weeks or have it really close, like an early buy, would probably be a move that you need to make because you need to get some wins now. As far as defenses and kickers, I fucking hate defenses and kickers, but I definitely would look at matchups down the line. See if you have a roster spot open and can pick up a weak defense that's like 2 weeks away. Probably a good idea. And kickers, just throw a coin in the air wherever it lands. Pick up that kicker. Don't worry about it.
If you don't have Justin Tucker, kickers don't matter.
Yeah, they really don't. Just pick one that's playing a game that week, is going to be playing. That's really all you need to do. Or line it up. I like lining them up if I have to have kickers in a league. Line it up with your quarterback and know that every time your quarterback scores, you're getting another point. Like, cool. That's my only thing that I like about kickers. If I have Josh Allen, I want Tyler Bass. That's, I don't know, kind of how I look at it. I don't really look too far ahead as far as like who I'm playing in 2-3 weeks, unless there's like a bet coming up or someone's talking some shit about 2 weeks from now they're going to beat me. Then I might go and look. But otherwise, I'm kind of focused on the week ahead and more on my roster versus worrying about the guy that I'm playing. I'm trying to make my own team better versus making their team worse. So I want to get the best possible lineup that I can start every week. So if I have to go out and sell a guy like Jonathan Taylor to pick up two pieces, it's going to help me now, I'm going to go do that. If I'm a top team and I can consolidate and eat a loss, but it's going to help me down the line, I don't mind doing that either. But those are kind of the mentalities from, if you're looking at it from the top or if you're looking at it from the bottom.
Okay. Levi, how do you approach this time of year?
When it comes to who you're playing, you can't affect it too much, right? So I kind of just tend to play things as they lie. I'll look ahead for my own quarterback. If I'm having a bye week, I might look to pick up my replacement the week before just so that I'm not having to do that on waivers. And as far as defenses, you can gain a lot. If you play in a league with defenses, you can gain a lot from looking 1 week ahead at good matchups and stashing that secondary defense on your bench. Again, you don't have to compete on waivers for that. So I think that's where I do it. Kickers, again, who cares? Just take Justin Tucker two rounds early or whatever if you have kickers. And the one other thing that might be nice to do right now, especially if you've got a player on bye in the next couple of weeks, try and trade him to your opponent you're playing that week. That can give you a huge advantage and potentially lead to a win. So,
yeah, no, that's a very good strategy. Myself, in redraft, most of the leagues that I'm in, we have defenses. So I'm looking 2 weeks ahead. I'm looking at the defense I have. Who's my matchup this week? Who's my matchup next week? And then who's my matchup, you know, 2 weeks out? And especially with the bye weeks, because I want to line up the defense that I'm going to have that I can usually run for 2 or 3 weeks. So, like this week, I picked up Miami because Miami has a good matchup in 2 weeks. And with bye weeks and stuff like that, I'm looking at my opponent and I need to manufacture a few points. So I'm going to try and get a favorable defense that's going to actually have a good matchup and potentially put up a decent number of points for me. If I'm in a super flex, I'm always looking forward at 2 or 3 opponents because I'm going to grab quarterbacks off of the waiver wire for weeks that those guys are going to be looking to try and grab somebody. Because a lot of times in a super flex, teams take two quarterbacks and then they move on to other players. So you can really manufacture wins over the bye weeks by picking up the quarterbacks that are going to be starting during those bye weeks and those guys not having somebody available.
I think that's a really good point in terms of, like, blocking people usually doesn't work in fantasy, but super flex is the one spot where that position is so stretched that it can be a big deal.
I mean, if you grab PJ Walker, you're not hurting a guy. But if you grab Taylor Heineke, you're taking 10 or 15 points away from a guy that can cost them the week. So you really have to pay attention to who's out there on waivers, depending on how active your leagues are, how competitive you are, and the league is itself. That kind of determines for me how far in advance I have to look. You know, if I can look on Saturday and pick up whatever defense I want or pick up whatever quarterback or wide receiver I want, then I don't have to be that active. Like in our listener leagues last week, I picked up Deion Jackson on Thursday. Because it was trending towards the point, or was it Thursday or Friday? It was either Thursday or Friday. I started some leagues on Thursday, some Friday, because it was looking like it was potentially going to be Jonathan Taylor not playing. It was a good matchup, and I want the guy that's probably going to start if he doesn't. Because worst case, he doesn't. He starts, and Deion Jackson's a bum pickup. I drop and pick somebody else up on Sunday. But I had him when other people were looking Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon to grab him. So now's the time of year with bye weeks. You need to start looking at other players and defenses. Start looking at least one week ahead, if not 2 or 3. Like I've got a couple opponents fairly well blocked in other leagues where when it gets to be week 9 and a lot of teams are out with, you know, you got Cleveland out, you've got San Francisco out, Pittsburgh's going to be out. I have the players that those guys are going to need. So I can now try and trade those guys in week 8 when they start looking, or in week 9 when they realize that they need to buy these players. So I can trade for guys that they have on bye so that they can be competitive. So it is a lot of strategy when you get to this point, especially where you're, you know, 4-2, 5-1, 6-0. You want to keep planning ahead so you stay high in your wins. But when you're trying to manufacture wins at 2-4, 3-3, or even 1-5, these are the things you really want to be doing to try and help yourself out to make those wins possible. So hopefully it helps. If not, sorry, I guess. But it's something that works for us as, you know, fairly seasoned Dynasty players. And by the time you get to Dynasty, you've played in a ton of redraft usually. So you've made a lot of mistakes and you've learned from those. And these are just kind of the things that we've learned from making those mistakes. I do think that that's going to wrap the show up for tonight. It's going to be a little bit long, but hey, we've got a ton of information for you guys tonight. So hopefully it helps. Levi, you have any parting words for the listeners?
So I have a little, I've been thinking about players that I had blind spots on in draft season. And for those who were high on those players, the one player in particular that I want to focus on is Amon-Ra St. Brown. So if you're in a league with me, if you could shoot me a message on why you were higher on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know a few people, like Rybread in particular, was grabbing Amon-Ra in a bunch of leagues. What did you identify about him that had you high on him? Because I want to figure out why I had a blind spot and how I can get better at that and not have that sort of blind spot in the future.
So the answer to that question is people were very high on him because from week 13 on, he was like on fire. And the reason you were down on him is because he plays for the Detroit Lions.
Yep. I was about to say the same thing. Opportunity came his way. Volume came his way. And that workload didn't get really cut into from the draft and free agency, other than Jameson Williams, who's not on the team really yet. He's not full speed. And they don't really play the same style of game. So I was big on him because the offense looked like it was really improving last year. Their O-line went way up and continues to get better. And yeah, the track record from the end of the season with the no targets really got, like, nobody was stealing his targets. Those are the reasons why I was big on him in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. All right. Please reach out and let us know what you find out. But that's kind of the consensus that I know. As far as he was concerned, was he was on fire. 10 targets plus for 7 weeks at the end of the season. And I think he had a touchdown in all but one game. So he was the go-to guy, and they did not add anybody that was relevant. Josh Reynolds has been reasonably good as a wide receiver too. And when Williams comes, you know, I think he takes over where Shark's at. So, you know, Detroit offense looking up. We'll see what happens. So hopefully that answers your question. Ben, anything for the listeners?
No, just thanks again, Levi, for joining us. It was a lot of fun tonight. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at DaydreamingFF. On Sleeper, I'm at Rockstar with 2 K's and 2 R's. And you can also find us through the email. Look forward to some questions. Like, let's get some more questions in so we can answer what you guys are actually wanting to hear about. Yeah, thanks again, guys, and I hope everybody has a good night and good luck this week.
Perfect. So, Levi, thank you very much for stepping in. I know it was last minute again, but we appreciate it. If you need to reach out to me, I am on Twitter, at the FF Degenerate. You can find me on Sleeper, at Solinator. You can reach out to us with an email if you have a question for the show, comment for the show. You just want to tell us we suck, tell us we're doing a great job. DDDFantasyFootball@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com, or you can find us on our Facebook group. Just search for Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. If you want to support the show at all, we appreciate that. You can find us on Patreon, Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. There is a link to that on the website, and I think there might be a link on the Facebook page. If there's not, I'll make sure I get one up there. We do appreciate any support. It helps with the giveaways and the prizes we give away in the listening league. So good luck this week, week 7, and thank you for listening, and good night.